So then in 72, you chose instead to make a run for president.
Yeah. I kind of jogged for president. You almost have to take two. You can't really know how to do this without sort of trying it twice.
Right. Because then you ran again in 76.
Yes. 76, I really ran for president. But 72, I tried to put it together, but there wasn't any way I could do it.
You traveled the country in an RV?
76, I did. I wrote up a memorandum about 4 pages, which I was going to give to Walter Mondale. Walter Mondale was my seatmate in the Senate on one side and Robert Kennedy on the other. And we were very close friends. So I wanted Mondale to run for president in 76. And I wrote up this memo about how to do it sort of in a populist way, both in process and in issues. One thing was staying in people's homes. That was just a minor part of it. But then all of a sudden, before I could get the thing to Mondale, he announced that he wasn't going to run. He said, I just don't like the prospect of having to stay in Holiday Inn for a year. I was telling somebody about that later, Bob McCandless, as a matter of fact. He said, so what did you decide to do, Fred? Erase his name and put your name in it? I thought, well, yeah, that's kind of it.
About LBJ again, there was this blood feud between him and Robert Kennedy.
Right.
I guess we call it that. What fueled that?
Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, thought Johnson was corrupt. And he also never forgave Johnson for raising John Kennedy's health as an issue at the convention in 1960, which he did. And it was true. I mean, he did have Addison's disease. Probably the treatment itself for his back had caused his thyroid to atrophy, we now know. Johnson knew all that, and Johnson thought Kennedy was a lightweight and said that to people and hadn't amounted to anything in the Senate and so forth. Was a womanizer, and Johnson was too. But all those kind of things Robert Kennedy knew, and he hated Johnson for it. He also thought he was a real cornpone and not modern, bought and paid for by the people like Halliburton and Brown and Root. Used his office to make money with a television station and other things. Johnson thought Robert Kennedy was a rash, sort of snot-nosed kid, vicious, and had said and done a lot of things against him, too. And then this thing happened at the convention. I heard it from both Johnson and from Kennedy. Old man Joseph Kennedy figured out quite rightly that Kennedy could get elected with Johnson on the ticket. Probably couldn't without Johnson. So John Kennedy did what his father said and offered it to Johnson, and Johnson accepted. Incidentally, Johnson said at the time on that helicopter, he said that Robert Kerr came busting into his room and said, they tell me you're thinking about running with Irish boy from Boston, and if you do, I'm going to take my 30-30 and shoot you right between the eyes. You're thinking about that. He said, Sam Rayburn said, now listen, Bob, you're up for re-election the same time, too. With John Kennedy as the presidential candidate, that could be some problems for you. He said, well, yeah. Sam Rayburn said, well, what if your neighbor here, Lyndon Johnson's on the ticket with you and you're running the same election? Wouldn't that make things a lot better for him? And Johnson said, Bob came back in the room and said, if you don't take that, I'll shoot you right between the eyes. And then what happened was John Kennedy sent Robert down there. I mean, he certainly knew Robert was going and I think sent him. At any rate, Robert wanted to do that. Walter Ruther and others were just crazed by this idea that they'd take Johnson on the ticket. So Robert went down there and said, you know, you should take yourself off of it. And he said, if this is your brother talking, have him call me and tell me that. Otherwise, I'm going to go right ahead. Of course, Kennedy wasn't going to do that. From Robert's standpoint, he thought Johnson wasn't worth a damn as vice president, and his advice was no good.
Did they cut him out a lot? He had to be a lonely man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, terrible. Time Magazine wrote that I was the only person in Washington who could have breakfast with Lyndon Johnson and lunch with Hubert Humphrey and dinner with Robert Kennedy, which was true. And they all knew it. But with Robert Nethel, they just loved to talk about Johnson.
Did make fun of him?
Oh, yeah. It was just terrible. It was so weird to me. For example, I'd see Robert McNamara over at Kennedy's house, and they were against the war. And then I'd see him in Putnam's briefings down with the president, and he's for the war. But Kennedy, he knew that I was a supporter of Johnson's and liked him. For example, one time he said, Kosygin is going to be in touch with the Vietnamese in Paris.
Kosygin.
From Russia.
Yes, he was the prime minister.
And Robert said, if you could talk to the president and get him to tell Kosygin that we'll do this and that, stop the bombing and whatever, I think that we can make a deal. So I said, okay, I will. And I went to see Johnson and told him that. And he said, oh, hell, I already tried that. That won't work. He just dismissed it out of hand. But I saw him all the time. And one time I was home back in Oklahoma. Dean McGee called me and said, I was on an airplane with Russell Long. Russell Long was a senator from Louisiana. And Russell said, the president wanted me to tell you this so you could tell Fred Harris. Johnson said, I could do a lot more for Fred Harris if he weren't so close to those Kennedys. Dean McGee said they wanted me to pass that on to you, so you do whatever you want with it. So the following Monday, I went to the White House to see the president. I said, Dean McGee told me that you told Russell Long that you could do a lot more for me if I weren't so close to those Kennedys. And Johnson had not a movement in his face. He just sat and looked at me. I said, I'll tell you the same thing I told Malvina Stevenson. She was a reporter for the Tulsa World. Malvina, I said, don't you know that those Kennedys are trying to build a clique in the Senate? And I said, so am I, Malvina. And Johnson just changed the subject, went on to something else. One time I was at Hyannis Fort, had a dinner with Robert Kennedy, stayed with him. The phone rang in the other room, and Ethel went to answer it, and she came back where we were having dinner. Rose Kennedy was there, and I think Jackie too. Ethel said, you're in trouble now, kid. President Johnson's on the phone for you. So I thought it was a joke, but he said, no. I went to the phone, and he said, that kind of tired drawl of his, how you doing, Fred? And I said, just fine. He didn't say hardly anything. Obviously, the only reason he called me is he just wanted me to know he knew where I was.
So he was jealous of that, wasn't he?
Yeah. He never said anything to me directly about it, but he did a lot of times say things to me about John Lindsay. John Lindsay and I were very close.
Mayor of New York.
We ran the Kerner Commission, and he thought John was going to run against him. One time we were having a little thing with a few senators up there at the White House and the president's family quarters, and he said to me something about your friend John Lindsay. I said, hell, he's too busy. He's not going to run for president. And then another time he talked to me down at the White House and said, now look at this. He picked up the New York Times, and it was a page-long story, one column. He said, he was talking about John Lindsay announces this poverty funds and doing this and that. And he said, by God, you have to get down to the last paragraph almost. You find out it's my money.